is Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the position of the management and staff of Guardian Network.
Hello and good morning, Bahamas. Again, this is C.A. Nuri and this is Guardian Radio AM, and I am your host for today. Actually, I should have two guests, two segments today. One, I had a resident artist who's doing some big things in the Bahamas, but unfortunately he called last minute with some type of family emergency, so I'm wishing good luck with that. So I'm going to be playing it off air, off the cuff today, until the lawyers from CLAP, Legal Aid Clinic, comes on the second half of the show. So I had to decide between two sets of shows that I have in my book pending, right? I have one show about rituals that Bohemians tend to do that are Afrocentric. Which one would we consider as Obia? And I'm thinking, can I do that in half an hour? Do I need enough more time than that to go in detail about these rituals? Because I have that written down, because I'm preparing that for a show in the future. But that's a good topic, because a number of Bohemians are not familiar with it, especially how we are a, for lack of a better word, magic country. And people say, what do you mean magic? We don't do magic. If you go on Carmichael Road, near that's Carmichael Road, and you go to that junction of Gladstone Road, there's one church there who's exercised demons all the time. We deal in magic, you know? We have pastors and priests who have holy stick, which can do cures, and holy scarves, and holy rings. And so we are a place, Bohemian women and men, who will go and look for that magic man. But I'm not sure if I'm going to talk about that, even though it would be good to explain one or two of the rituals that we normally do not discuss, which we do not acknowledge as rituals. Betwixt and between that and discussing family names again, because I promised to come back to that topic, and I have that too written down in my book, of various family names. And also I want to go in detail on how to research your surnames, right? And so any minute now I have to make a decision. I have to make a decision on what to talk about for the next half an hour. The rituals, or do I talk about the family names, you know? And I you know, since my people in from Auckland, I want to maybe perhaps go into detail with the Hannah Hasty Tynes, maybe go into some detail with the MacFalls, maybe go into some detail about the Benabies and the Bonabies and how they're related and so on. But I betwixt in between. So give me a second. Which one should I talk about? Anyway, let me scan my book. And I shall conclude on which show. This one comes up, so I'll talk about that. Bohemian magic. And I want you to call me in. The numbers today are 323-6232, 325-4316, 325-4259. And of course, there's a text line, which is 422-GR96, which is 422-4796. And we will talk about rituals. Rituals that we do every day, that you do at home in your house, that is magic based, that is African based, that is ritual based, you know? So I wrote down a list. I wrote down a list, right? Of antidotes and solutions to problems that we as Bohemians, black and white Bohemians, tend to turn to medicine does not work. And my first one, I said, issues. You just had a child. The child is about 4, 5, 6, male child, 5, 6, 7 months old, 1, 2 years old. we have a ritual that works. You can actually prove it, and people will call and tell you that it's true, that you do not cut the child hair before the child start talking. Now, some of questions, and where did that come from, right? That's an old wives' tale, old African tale, that we have embraced as our own in the Bahamas, right? And there's a reason why we do not cut our child, our male child, hair, because they don't talk. They take long to talk, right? And there's some magic in that hair, right? There's some magic in that hair that we know better. We know better to cut the hair. And sometimes, in order to have that bond with your child, when you cut that hair, when that child start talking, you finally cut the hair, you take some of that locks and put it inside your purse. Mostly mothers do that. And keep it in your drawer. You keep it in the drawer, right? And I thought that interesting that Bahamians tend to do that, not knowing that it's a ritual that we have imported from Africa. This is something that we tend to do all the time. And I found it interesting. I said, I got to mention that to see who else does that. Who else in the listening audience who, for a fact, will not cut their child hair because their mother told them, don't do it because the child will have difficulties talking. The child will stutter, right? So another African trait, another Obeah trait that we do as Bahamians, right? Because I get a top 10. Another one that we do is we bury the child's navel string on the property we live on, right? And I happen to have all my children's navel string inside a drawer. I haven't just thrown it out because I guess I'm superstitious like that. But I have never thought to bury it, right? And there's a reason. There's a magic towards that also, and why we bury our navel string, and that's normally like from like a South Andres type of custom that is continued to this day, that African families, even Caucasian Bahamian families, continue to do, because they have, because of our proximity and how we grew up, you find that white Bahamians did a number of African rituals, right? From when they was going to the bush doctors and the Obeah men from in the early 1900s. But the reason why we bury the navel string in on your property is so the child do not stray, especially when you have children who are going abroad to college and universities and live abroad. We say in order for our mothers to control our child, to make sure that the child has a connection to the community, especially in generational property, to make sure you don't abandon the family island, they took the navel string, the umbilical cord remnants, right? And so it's a cord, it's kind of a blood magic type thing. And you bury that to have that continual perpetual connection with the child. And we do this every day. And that's why I find amusing that I'm sure that you can say that, yes, my mother did that. Yes, she buried my navel string, but I didn't really understand why she did that. She did it because she was doing magic. We do magic on our children every day and do not know that we are perpetrating magic on them, because these are rituals that we don't have no credence to say, well, it works. But we do it because it makes us feel safe. We do it because it's something handed down to us, right? And I'm not sure if any of these rituals are evil or sinister in nature, but they do comfort us. They comfort us and make us feel as if we are connected to the child, right? I have a text that says, great show as usual. You keep your kids' navel string now. You see why I don't eat from people. you using this, we turn loosely. And I kept it because my own, I still have. And my mother happened to kept it inside a jar. You know, and when I cut the umbilical cord for my two children, I said, man, I ain't throwing this away, man. And I didn't want no dog going and yuck it up or anything. And then I'm concerned about neighbors and thing and fang and whatever. So I said, I can keep this. I can keep this raised inside the jar here. So I know I didn't necessarily throw it away. So it's there, right? And like I said, the navel string is a binding to the home. So you see that a number of persons use that to keep their children in check. They always have that connection to their parents, to their home. Another magic that we use on our children, but we cannot give an explanation. I'm sure every mother, I'm sure a few fathers have used, is when that child have a hiccup. When that child have a hiccup, I know you know what I can say. If the child is hiccuping, right, we will seek out a brown piece of bag. The paper bag. We will seek out a brown piece of paper bag and we will cut that into a square, tear it to make it square. And we would wet that brown piece of paper bag. And we'll put that on the forehead of the child. And the magic from the brown paper bag, the magic from the brown, wet brown piece of paper bag stops automatically the hiccup. You know? For some reason that there's magic in that paper bag, right? That whatever soothing ritual or magic from the tree that made the paper bag soothes it. Right, and I'm sure people listening now and say, but that wasn't magic, that was science. But there's no science behind that. It doesn't make sense, right? I can understand you give the child some water, but and we know when the child is young, you tend not to give them water. You know, you try to make sure they drink breast milk and so on. But in the Bahamas, we use rituals like putting a brown piece of paper bag on the child's head, and it cures hiccup. No explanation on why we do it. We just do it, and we do it to all our child, and that works, right? Right? It's a great show, as usual. You have to mention Cuckoo Soup. And I've heard from Cuckoo Soup, and I should have had KB's song queued up, and so we could play that, because there's no cure for the Cuckoo Soup. And I find that all of the Caribbean and then parts of Africa talks about this Cuckoo Soup, and I'm sure the word cuckoo means something, right? And of course, for people who don't know what cuckoo soup is, it's some bewitching of men where women supposedly, because I have never met anyone who get cuckooed, all right? Supposedly use some kind of blood magic, and I'm not going to say on air where they get the blood from, right? But in that nether region, they tend to cook with it, So yes, there is that ritual that some Bahamian women to this day would swear that works, and that they have knowledge that is a magic thing that we as Bahamians do, and they swear of it. Some good, decent women, church going women, have done that. Apparently, because it works, right? Next one, it says, the baby stopped hiccuping because it's lost in a bunch of foolishness going on. Yeah, and I guess that is. The baby looking at you and you putting thing on their forehead and they looking up wondering what happens. But the truth is, eventually the child will stop hiccuping naturally because you can't hiccup for life, right? So that's what happened to the child, right? I'm reading this next text. Okay, no, that's for Aaron. And I'm just coming through. Another ritual, ritual that we do, particularly to our children, right? Not knowing that it has ancient roots, ancient remedies, and that we take for light, that we haven't acknowledged that because it has no bearings of knowing that it's factually working, is the cure for asthma. And I'm sure someone will call in soon and tell me, what is the remedy your parents, your grandparents used to do to make sure that you overcome asthma? And I've had some friends living, when you're living off East Street, you tend to live in what I call a compound yard. This is a yard that has 4 to 5 different houses, 4 to 5 different families, and you're all in this big yard. And I remember a friend had a serious asthma attack, can't bear, can't bear it. That's problems breathing. And what they used to do, I know some people who still do it, is you find a big tree. You find a big tree and you get a big nail. And you put the child against the tree, right? And you get that nail and with a hammer, right? And right where the top of the child's head touches the top of the tree, right? And you measure that and you nail that nail into the tree. And magically, the asthma, whatever ailment, the sickness of the asthma, moves out of the child and goes into that nail and goes into the tree. In Jamaica, they use a hatchet or a cutlass, right? And they chop right on top where Behemoth's nail. They chop on top of the tree above the child's head, and apparently that marking magically sucks out the asthma out of the child, and that solves that. And so this ritual is not just for Bahamians. It is permeated throughout the Caribbean, and a number of people use that, right? So that's another Obia ritual that we use on our children today. When I say today, I talk about 2022. There are Bahamians who still do this, who still believe in such, right? I see I have some more text. Let me see what it is. Good morning. Talk about black string around the baby hand. What's that all about? And yeah, and I have that on my list, right? Because there are black strings and there are red strings. There is a Facebook prophetess that comes and prays. She's a prophet, apostle prophet. And if you look on her hand, she has a red string on her hand, right? And you'll see a number of pastors and who have that apostolic religion here, you know, who is exorcise demons and cure people and heal the sick. They tend to wear either black or red string. The red string is a Jewish tradition, actually, and the black string is more African oriented. But the two do the same thing, right? Even in terms of colors, you find that prophetess and thing would wear blue or they wear white in order to have their magic works. But let's go back to the string. The string tends to ward off evil spirits from a young child. And then I'm sure you heard of the word succubuses and succubies, or whatever it is. And they tend to come and taunt children at night and pull their toe or whatever it is and keep the child crying. Right? So you see that mothers tend to tie black string. I'm not sure how the string have magic or how the ghosts them know that black strings is something they're supposed to be afraid of. But a number of Bahamian mothers will tie the black string on the child's hand. And the string has whatever magic inside it, and it prevents the ghosts. It prevents the ghosts from coming and bothering the child. You know, the child able to sleep now, right, without being molested at night. Let's see, I have another text here. So, hey, ACA, our Bohemian NASA space gal is traveling to space, or I guess naval, or NASA. Our Bohemian NASA space gal is traveling to space. What an awesome feat, an opportunity for a Bohemian. 242 to the world. I remember we do have a Bohemian lady who was in NASA. I didn't know that she was an astronaut. I thought she was like one of those physics type of things, but congratulations to her, and I'm sure we will recognize her nearer to the date, and her name will be heralded all around the country, because that sounds awesome, you know, to make it to space. I wonder where she's going, or is she just flying through, right? Let's see. And what I see the texter is mentioning that we had prime ministers who had an Obia hat, and they were known to wear the Obia hat, and they said, and especially in the cartoons of the dailies, the political cartoons of the dailies, and you see the prime ministers wearing some type of hat where they said has magical powers, and we know of prime ministers who would call elections on specific dates because the dates and numbers have magic to it. And then we have a number of, again, prime ministers. See, our leaders and all are superstitious or believe in magic, and we notice it, and we never challenge them in any kind of way. Because we've had or heard rumors of our politicians visiting Obeah men to make sure they get lucky in the elections. I heard of a particular prime minister going to a village and say, all of we is one. And then they give him some kind of dirt and they win the election by landslide. But that's just rumors. So I'm not sure if that's true. But I mean, they win. But magic is magic. But I'm cool with that. Next text saying, so you were saying my grandmother, bush combinations for healing me was magic. Yes, your grandmother's bush medicine was definitely Obeah. Not necessarily magic. It would be an Obeah tonic. And if you look in our old history books, you see that the Obi, which where they have the extension of Obeah, would have been the medicine man of the tribe. And you would have gone to the Obeah to get the Obi in order to get tonics and potions. And of course, talisman, that's where the strings and stuff like that, to ward off evil spirit from. It was not necessarily magic that the Obi did. And this is why Obeah is completely different from voodoo. Voodoo have a contingent of gods and magic involved, where Obeah has no magic. Obeah has, like I said, bush medicine. And bush medicine, and they have talismans involved. So it's rituals instead of doing magic. In fact, in the 1800s, when they outlaw and made Obeah illegal, the reason why they did it is they said that the Africans were making potions in order to poison the massa. So outlawed it and said that no one will be allowed to visit any bush doctors in order to get any kind of potions to drink, because they're trying to kill the white populace. And of course, we changed the name of the Obi right then when they made an outlaw, and it became to a bush doctor. And now we have bush medicine. But all of that is the rituals from Obeah from back then, right? Another, I'm still going through the text. Another ritual of magic that we use still today is the dream book. We have young, not even old Bahamians. We have, especially we have a gambling culture. We have a gambling culture now, right? Everyone's spinning. We have young people now into numerology and into dream books where they want to interpret dreams. Just recently, I saw on Facebook, social media, this young lady, when I say young, she's no more than 30, talking about she wants her dream interpreted. And we know only God can interpret a dream. So when you see people interpreting dreams, we know that's magic. Magic they're trying to do, right? Hey, CA, Oh, that's what her name is, Aisha Bo. Oh, good. That's the person who's in space. So I'm going to research it so actually I can mention it on a future show. So I appreciate that, right? Hi, about the brown paper bag, I recently had a child and released there is a science behind it. And realized, I guess, there's a science behind it. Hiccups are trapped in the body. The mold of the baby is not quite developed until a certain age. So the bag acts like an air seal on the baby's mold. Only problem is the mold is on the top of the head and not on the forehead. So I hear you trying to explain that, but it doesn't make sense. You ever see any nurse or doctor say, hey man, your child hiccuping, just carry home this piece of paper and put on the child's head? No. No, doctor never recommends. That's right, but I appreciate the explanation and say as if it is a science. But the mold is not there where you're saying you put in the brown paper bag. So technically, that doesn't necessarily make sense. But I see I have a caller here. I'll patch the caller through as I scan through the other text. Go ahead, caller. Thanks for calling the show.
Good morning, Mr. Neary.
I know you did some magic when you was young. You either you nail one child on the tree, or you put that brown paper bag on your grandchild head. Go ahead, tell me what will be a ritual you did. You didn't know about.
Listen, that brown paper bag thingy is something as a man you would never understand. You know, mothers and grannies invented that.
Yeah, you invented the magic. I agree. It's a woman thing. So,
it's a magic. It's not science. It's magic. And then you have, like, if a child get cut and you kiss it, it automatically stops hurting.
Mm.
Listen, that's a mother's thing. Science can't, it's like, you're like the creation of the world. Science can't figure it out. It's a God thing.
It's a God thing.
Yes. You know, like, I had a cousin, he had asthma. So as he grew, my grandma used to mark him to the tree. And she said, I'd carry it away. You know, when you get the cold, head cold, you go in the salt water when the tide going out. And
no, but I understand the salt water.
Wash it and that carry the cold.
What? No, repeat that again. Repeat that one again.
She used to tell us when the tide going out. I think she used to call it when tide ebbing. Mm-hmm. Listen, my grandma was born in 1909, so don't try to figure it out.
I understand.
She said, you go to the sea when the tide going out, you gargle your throat in that water, wash your head with that water, and that tide carry that cold.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And you couldn't tell me that didn't work. I still have my turn today.
Today you still do it. Still do it.
So it's a lot of things. See, I grew up on the island, so I don't know if Nassau people do these things, but I know on the island, they have some tricks for everything.
And a number of these things we grew up with, you know, with no any explanation, and is now a part of us, and we swear into it.
I live by it. You know, and somehow it works.
If it works, don't stop.
Even though it's a grammy thing, like school. I tell my children, like, school, they just want to know why they have to go to school. I said, Motherson went to school to get rid of y'all.
Mm-hmm.
You understand? You can't figure it out, but it's there.
Mm-hmm.
It helps. It works. So, you know, if it ain't broken, why fix it?
I appreciate you, man. I have one or two more texts who tell me what they do for hiccups. So I want to read that so you can listen to. Thanks for calling.
Okay.
So this one says that mothers normally blow the child on top of the child's mold or head in order to cure hiccups. So I've seen that too, when the child hiccuping and the mothers go, and apparently the child looking at them and say, okay, that I guess the hiccup going to go. And another explanation from nailing the child to the tree is as the tree grows, right? After you nail the nail to the tree and the child, as the tree grows, the child grows out of that asthma. So that's why they do it. I have another caller here. Patrick, caller through. How you doing, caller? Let me see if I get that. Hello, can you hear me? Hello, can you hear me? Caller? Trying to get you. Hello, caller, can you hear me? No, the caller looks like I'm able to hear them, even though I see it blinking. I'm sorry about that call. On air. They need to give me like a course on how to answer these phones. That's what they need to do. But I'm sorry about that caller. Hopefully you can call back, and when Kermit comes, he can connect you properly. Another one, I see they mentioned the black and red string again. And brown paper bag, which would work. When you have enemies or people who dislike you, you write their name down, right? The name of the person who you don't like, or either with a chalky rock in the road, or you write it on a piece of paper, and you tie the name onto that rock, and you throw that rock into the ocean, and then that demonic spirit inside that them people them will go away. Something happens to them. And apparently people do that still, right? Write names, whatever it is. Another ritual is if you have a dearly departed who has transitioned, you tend to pour liquor on the ground. And apparently they can drink that and taste it and they can appreciate it. And we know dead people can't drink, so you know that's some kind of obia ritual that we're doing. Good morning, CA. This generation don't practice those superstition. Only our parents and ancestors who were fooled by slave masters. And it wasn't magic. It was superstition. What is the difference between voodoo and obia? And like I was saying, voodoo has gods and ritual. Gods in general. And when you go to Africa and have voodoo on, you see that they have a list of gods and how they worship and what's not. Whereas Obia has no gods inside at all. They have people who do rituals and who create potions. But anyway, my guest is here, so we're going to take a break and we will transition. I'll see if I can get to read one or two of these texts before we transition. We have the lawyers from CLAP who are giving advice and giving the information on how you can go to the legal clinic and get free advice and help. So we'll be right back after the short break.
Love the show? Want to give your support? Become a sponsor today. Call 302-2300 for our rates and packages. That's 302-2300. Become a sponsor on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
This is Guardian Radio 96.9 FM, Nassau, Bahamas.
Welcome back to Guardian Radio AM, and we finally have the gentle people from CLAP, and they were here before, but they're going to do their thing again, where they're helping Bahamians help themselves. And it's a legal clinic, and they're going to go in detail, because the number of persons are still not aware that in the Bahamas we have a system where lawyers volunteer their time in order to give legal advice and give detail on how you can help themselves. So in order to help Bahamians, I've invited them again. And we have attorney Kevin Farrington and attorney Sutherland, Ms. Sutherland King. And they, if I remember correctly, Ms. Sutherland King is the director. Actually, I remember well. And again, same questions like I asked before. What is this all about? What is the agenda? And then, of course, I'll leave on terms of where, when, and how, and who should come. Okay? So we'll start with you, Ms. Sutherland King, again, and explain what is it all about.
Okay, so good morning, Mr. Nuri.
Thanks for having us again. And good morning. I'm going to bring the mic a little closer because I'm not hearing her. Okay, I hear you now.
All right, great. So once again, good morning, Mr. Nuri. Thanks for having us. We really appreciate that. Good morning, Bahamas. And so we're so pleased to be back in studio with you today to speak about the Community Legal Aid Program. And you may ask, what is the Community Legal Aid Program? Well, CLAP, which is the acronym for the program, really is a program that seeks to provide access to the average, everyday, ordinary Bahamian to legal services and legal information. So that is our goal. Coming out of the pandemic, we learned generally how to pivot and how to do things differently. And one of the things that we also learned to do differently was to provide legal services. And, you know, as we're coming out of the pandemic, we thought to ourselves that, you know, the benefits of technology ought to persist beyond simply the pandemic. And there were some things that we wanted to keep. One of those things that we wanted to keep was the ability to connect persons who may not be in the same spaces. And so we began to look for ways that we could use technology to improve the access to justice for the average Bahamian. But not only do we provide our legal services virtually, which is an option, we still want to have that hands-on, face-to-face contact with our clients. Persons need that sometimes. You know, you're speaking about very sensitive information often, and we understand that the human touch is important. So what we have been doing is we've been running a series of legal aid clinics in communities throughout New Providence, and we have another clinic coming up on Saturday. So that's what we're here to talk about. We just want to let the public know that this opportunity is available to them, and we really invite them to come out and take advantage of this signature opportunity.
So Saturday, the 29th of October, you have a legal aid lead clinic. Where would it be?
Okay, the clinic this Saturday is going to be at the E.P. Roberts Primary School. That is on Lincoln Boulevard, and I think it's Miami Street.
Okay, see it in my mind, yes.
Yes, so we're going to be there between the hours of 9 a.m. and 3 p.m.
Okay, and Mr. Farrington, let's go to you, right? I see that this clinic moves around. Because the last time it was at the Carmichael Road, Diplomatic Center on Carmichael Road, and now I see you're in the center of the inner city, right? So it seems as if you're targeting or making available to a particular set of people. And I want to know, why is that important to your organization? And what is the agenda? What are you trying to do exactly in terms of just moving around stuff?
Well, we're not necessarily targeting a particular set of people. We're just making our presence felt throughout the entire New Providence in the first instance, and at some point we'll transition to the Family Islands, Grand Bahama, as well as the Outer Islands. At this time, we feel like the demographic of Angleston, I think, requires our attention much more right now, and so we're encouraging people to come out, take advantage of the free services. Under normal circumstances, when you may not be able to afford Nicole,
She
could be very pricey. Mm. You have access to Nicole along with a whole list of lawyers who specialize in various areas of the law. So if you're interested in you know, drafting a will, somebody will be there to guide you on how to draft a will. If you're interested in applying for maintenance or child support in the magistrate's court, we'll have the expertise on the field. If you're interested in a criminal matter, or even how to apply for access, adoption, guardianship, probated estate, whatever you want, whatever you could think of, immigration matters. We have a laundry list of professionals who are experienced and qualified. Our bench is very, very, very deep.
And I appreciate that because I see on social media there are a number of women now pleading their cases,
yes,
saying that they lost their children.
Yes.
Right? And they seem to be lost in terms of they don't know who to go to in order to fight this case. They seem to be overwhelmed. They yes. seem to say, the world is against me and it's a conspiracy and everyone's conspiring against them and they lost their children. Can they come to this legal aid clinic and get advice, sound advice?
Come on down. We welcome all. The fully benefit, though, we would encourage you to pre-register. Mm-hmm. And so you could pre-register. Our email address is info@clap.org.bs, or you could contact us at 818-1606. So once you pre-register, then we will be able to assign you to a particular attorney who specializes in that area. And so if you can't pre-register, you still can show up. We'll accommodate you.
So I just want to make it clear, you can actually walk in, for
yes.
sure, right?
Yes.
But
yes.
just in case you want things fast-forwarded, you know,
we encourage you to
I think the hospital is called a triage.
Yes.
Not smart, right? Where you can specify what your issue is, so when you come, we have
yes.
the information for you readily yes. and get the assistance.
Yes. Yes.
And give me that phone number, because I see you say email, but I had a WhatsApper.
Our WhatsApp number is 818-1606.
Do you want it one more time?
818-1606.
And when I WhatsApp that number, what type of information should I supply to whoever answering the phone?
So when you WhatsApp us, the only thing that we ask of you is to provide your name,
my name,
and the general area of law. Mm. There's no need to go into the particulars of your matter. You know, you save that for your face-to-face consultation yes. with the attorney.
So I don't got to go in detail.
You don't have to go into detail at that point.
Just have a family problem.
Yes. That's it.
I have a land problem.
Yes. That is it.
I have a custody battle problem.
Yes. Exactly.
I go into a divorce and this woman trying to take everything. I need you to help me with that problem.
Exactly. Okay. Exactly. And then when you show up on the morning, you will sit with a member of our team and we will go through a registration process, and at that point we will determine based on the nature of your problem exactly which one of the attorneys will be best suited to assist you.
Yes.
And I know you all got some expert attorneys, because I've seen the list once or twice, right? And he said, man, no, these some QCs and thing, man. These people cost calling $1,000 an hour,
yeah.
you know?
Yeah.
And I would like to know, how do you recruit them? I mean, how did you convince them to volunteer the expensive time to come and help poor people?
Well, contrary to popular belief, there are some still some good guys out there. You know, I know attorneys.
I mean, you're all too good.
We are the butt of lots of jokes, but really and truly, I do want to commend my colleagues, and I want to thank my colleagues at the bar because they have really stepped up to the call. I mean, a clarion call was made, and it originated from the law school, and the bar has responded and responded with energy, vigor, and enthusiasm. So what we do, we have a website. We sent out the word. We want to get this program up and running. And our colleagues at the bar responded. And as you noted, we do have an impressive bench, an impressive volunteer body. So, you know, counsel that you may not ordinarily be easily able to access.
And it don't be like one or two lawyers. You just like have a whole cadre. I mean, you go there as a huge team. You say, okay, you don't got to wait.
Exactly.
You know, you just go there. Next person, you go. Yes. You know?
Exactly. Yes. Exactly. So that is what we have benefited from on the last two occasions. And we're certain, we know that we're going to have the same sort of response from our colleagues once again. The other thing that I do want to add, though, is I don't want persons to feel like they have to be certain that they actually have a legal problem to come. What we want to do is make the information available. So perhaps you may have something going on. You may feel like, I'm not certain. Is this really a legal issue? I mean, do I have a case? Have my rights really been trampled on here? Feel free to come down and have that one-on-one conversation. That's what we want to do. We want to make sure that we empower you so that you are aware, these exactly are my rights. This is the approach that I need to take. And often we have found in our experience that, you know, just a little bit of advice, a little bit of guidance really can cause things that can have the potential to spiral out of control to be settled rather quickly. So please take advantage of the opportunity.
I have a caller who calls me literally every week. I call his name Bremen. Bremen's a good caller. He's a good guy, you know. And Bremen said that he has some people squatting on his land. Every time he calls, he said, they on my land, and I try to get rid of them, and I call the police again and again and again, and I need help. And he always asks me, like, I could go down there and fight or some sort. So since I have you all, right, and Ms. Sutherland King looks like a fighter. So, I mean, can he come there and you can guide him on terms of solving his squatter's problem?
Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. That is the kind of issue that we want to seek to assist the public with. And I will say that if you are coming and perhaps you may have some documents, you may have some information, bring that along.
Yeah. So you need to bring documents.
Yes. Anything that you have that's handy, bring that along.
What do you mean, like anything? Give me an example so I can know.
So let's say, for example, that you are concerned with an estate matter.
Okay.
Someone has passed and you're not certain whether or not you have an interest. If you have a copy of the will, bring that along. Mm-hmm. If you feel that perhaps you are renting and your rights are being infringed on, if you have a copy of your lease agreement, bring that along. So that sort of thing, or perhaps someone has already commenced proceedings against you and you're not certain what you need to do. If you've been served with legal documents, bring those along for us. We will help you to understand exactly what those documents mean and guide you as to your next steps.
I overwhelm. Okay. Now we are by E.P. Roberts in the city, right? And there, it's a community, right? It's a particular type of persons live inside the community. How are we getting this news out that you are available? Because I know they have a number of issues. And at my show, everybody listen too, but, but people to work. Right. And I want them to know that this is something they should take advantage of. You know, what else is happening to make sure my community know, because I live off of East Street, you know,
back all in right, there. So but we are doing our best to try and make the rounds, you know, to get word out. We have been campaigning on social media. We've been sharing flyers. We've gone into the community. We've been distributing flyers. We've been touching bases with churches just to get the word out, because we know Bahamians love a good church. And so if you want to get my community, you go to church.
So, have you all ever gone to church and have a session?
Well, we have had sessions, certainly where we sit in the legal aid clinic at the law school. Churches do invite us to come and speak to their groups. So, you know, again, this is another one of the things that we can do. If you have a community group, you have a church group, and you would like someone to come and speak perhaps on preparing a will, or you would like someone to come and speak on perhaps
domestic violence,
that sort of thing. Yeah. Those are the kinds of things that we are more than willing to come and meet with your group and share the information, because that's really what we are about, access and getting information out there.
And since you brought up domestic violence, right, and there are some women who are afraid that their children may be taken from them. if they go and report, they're a good husband who paying all the bills, right? They don't want to get put out of the house. Say, man, I have no place to go. So if I report this good man, you know, I can be put out. And I assume that your legal team would give advice on what all they can do.
Exactly. Exactly. I know Mr. Farrington does quite a bit of that kind of work, but the law does make provision for protections for persons who may be experiencing domestic violence. So the, notwithstanding what we may believe, in some areas our law is quite robust.
Yeah.
I also want to know the history of the program. I know the last time you were here, you got some kind of grant, international grant. It was, I'm saying, no, I'm not, that's not, you know.
Speak it into being.
You speak it into being.
Receiving
that.
Yes, yes, yes. But I know both of you work at the law school.
Yes.
Right? Mm-hmm. And I want to know like the history on how this came about, that you are able to do this and finance this. Because, I mean, you have volunteers, right? But you, this is your job. Right. This is what you do. Right. You would have to even solicit help in terms of the meeting place. You know, how did this come about?
All right. So this project, the CLAP project, is a result of a collaboration between the Bahamas Bar Association, the Office of the Attorney General, and the Caribbean Agency for Justice Solutions. And not only has the Bar Association come on board by way of providing us with sweat equity in terms of volunteers, but the bar has also very generously supported us financially. So the bar provides
the bar gives you all some money.
The Bar Association, our colleagues at the bar, you gotta love us lawyers now.
I'm impressed with that.
They have been supporting this program financially, and we have also received some support from the Office of the Attorney General.
Mm, that's nice. That's nice. And before you go, tell me all that what's happening at the library now, and I'm trying to make sure I use the right place. Because you work out of the legal clinic works out of the
right.
Eugene DePute.
Right. So
I'm trying to get the right word.
Sure. So our legal aid clinic works out of the Eugene DePute Law School.
Okay.
And so the law school is the bar program for persons who wish to be called to the Bahamas Bar. So the students at our school have actually completed their undergrad studies, and they are preparing to be called to the Bahamas Bar. Our program is one of the courses, our legal aid clinic program is one of the courses for our final year students. So we have a number of students who also work along with us who will be, God's willing, who will be finished next year and who will be called to the bar at that point. So the legal aid clinic sits in the law school. We provide legal aid services on an ongoing basis. But CLAP is something, or it provides an opportunity for us to engage persons who may not work full-time in the legal aid clinic. So through the CLAP program, we are able to get the assistance, get volunteers from beyond the law school, and we get volunteers from the entire bar.
Good. So I need to be reminded again on where, when, which, how, and stuff like that. So Mr. Farrington, I give that to you.
Saturday, October 29th.
That's after, this is Thursday. So that's Friday. Then Saturday. That's this Saturday coming here.
This Saturday. October 29th, between the hours of 9 a.m. and 3 p.m. And the venue is E.P. Roberts.
And I know you're speeding things up, but I need to make sure everyone understands. This is 9 o'clock in the morning.
9 a.m. to 3 p.m.
So that's all day.
This Saturday, E.P. Roberts Primary School. Mm-hmm. And that's located Lincoln Boulevard and Miami Street.
Okay. And who should come on and seek your advice at this legal clinic?
Once you have a problem, once you have an issue and you need some direction or advice, we ask you to come on down.
Right. Because we, although we are an Angliston, we are open to everybody. Yeah, everybody. So it is not limited to persons who live in the Angliston community.
And watch this strange question, forgive me. What if I'm an affluent or middle class person?
It matters not.
I could come and get quality advice from you all, even though I'm middle class.
Yes. Even though.
I want to be comfortable. I don't want people to say, boy, look at Cecil.
No, it doesn't matter.
I can come there.
You can come.
I can mean, make my appointment.
No discrimination.
Good. Yeah. And I need to know the WhatsApp number again, and also that email address to register. And you explain that, why I need to register again.
Okay, so you can email us at info@clap.org.bs.
info@clap.org.bs. And CLAP is CLAP.
CLAP.
Mm-hmm.
And you could WhatsApp us or call us at 818-1606.
And why are you doing this part? This what's happening info at...
I think the transition once you arrive at EP Roberts and Monitor would be easier if you pre-register. And so once you send us a WhatsApp, once you call us, send us an email, just give us your issue, a general idea what your issue may be. And before you even arrive, we would assign you to someone,
right,
a particular practitioner who specializes in that area of the law.
Right. And so what I want to emphasize is that we're very concerned not to be wasting your time.
Yes.
So we want to make sure that we have sufficient persons on the ground to meet your needs. So that is why it's a benefit to us if you pre-register, so that we are certain that we have someone who is ready to assist you when you come.
To address the volume.
Right. Yes. We don't want to have persons waiting unnecessarily, because we really want this to be as seamless and as painless as possible.
And what if after I get advice from your team there, right, and they say these are the things, your steps you need to do, but clearly I need a lawyer to like represent me. I assume that your team would give advice on how to do that, especially when I broke.
Right. Our team is able to direct you to attorneys who may be willing to assist. I do want to say that there are members of our volunteer team who are willing to take on representation.
What?
We don't do it generally, not broadly, but where circumstances are such that it is clear that your need is urgent, say certainly, for example, let's say we are addressing a matter with a minor, perhaps. Okay. Or let's say you're a pensioner and your income is limited, and we understand that legal fees can be oppressive and can cause you not to be able to get assistance. We will ask you to undertake a means assessment. We just want to ensure that you are someone who cannot afford to go to a member of the private bar. But once we're satisfied that the circumstances are appropriate, there are persons, and once again, plug lawyers. Lawyers are also good people. There are lawyers who are willing to provide representation for persons who are in desperate need of legal aid.
And you all have access to arbitrators too, just in case something could be settled over the court. Okay, I know what you need to do.
We do, because there are volunteers who are skilled arbitrators. Mm. Like I said, our bench is very deep. And so to the extent that we are able to discern that perhaps this is something that can be mediated, we will encourage that, certainly.
This is good. You all need a full hour. I mean, just talking. What if, is there a program where the government provides a free lawyer? What would you call that?
Well, they don't normally, the government doesn't normally provide a free lawyer with regards to civil matters, but definitely criminal matters.
And what would you call that? If I happen to go out of super value and move something and didn't understand that I broke?
Well, it'll have to be a little more serious than that.
Okay.
Usually in circumstances where you're charged with an indictable offense, murder, rape, armed robbery, those kind of matters. So there's the public defender's office.
That's what I want to get at.
A crown brief. Government would award a private attorney what is called a crown brief, and they would represent you for more serious matters like murder, armed robbery, so on. If you go in City Market and thief a can of tuna, no.
Yeah. I might have to go to jail for that. Okay, fine. Okay. I see we have one more minute, but I want, again, to encourage people to take advantage of this, right? And I know they're listening, and I know a number of persons are writing this information down. I got to keep constantly reminding them in case they just wrote down one or two of the numbers, you know? So, again, I want to go the WhatsApp number and the email number and the date of when the event is. And so I can encourage them, let's go and take advantage of this. Let's get our wills written. Let's get the detail and information out.
Yes, please. Please get your will written.
Go ahead.
Okay, so this Saturday, October 29th, between the hours of 9 a.m. and 3 p.m., and the venue is E.P. Roberts Primary School, Lincoln Boulevard, and Miami Street. Now, our WhatsApp number is 818-1606, 818-1606, or you can email us at info@clap.org.bs.
I want to thank Mr. Farrington and Ms. Sutherland King for joining me once again. And anytime you need help, I'll be happy to make some claps and time out for you, because this is important. Bohemians need to know that they are healthy. Anyway, that means I got to go. So have a wonderful day. We see you again tomorrow. Bye-bye.
Thank you.